This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Good morning, everyone, and this is your Saturday morning broadcast here on the Alternative Media this Saturday, May 29, 2021. I'm your fill-in host filling in for Farron Schoaf, Richard Carey, here on the Alternative Media, and I do have a panel of co-hosts here with me. I have Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Greetings, everybody.
Good morning. I have Dr. Patrick Slattery. Hello, Patrick.
Good eye, mate.
Good eye. And I have Mr. Mike Sledge.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great to be here.
Good morning. Good to have you, Mike. And I have Paul Edward Stevenson, an Irishman over in London, joining us for a little cross-continental flavor. Hello, Paul.
Top of the morning to you there, lads. Now, top of the morning to you.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay. Well, yeah, glad to have all of you gentlemen here this morning. And I'd like to try to make it a little more fast-paced. I don't know if people felt with everyone on the panel, if all the listeners appreciated all the long-windedness, and maybe I shouldn't try to rotate so much. Let it be more free-flowing, you know. If any of you gentlemen want to speak up about something, just you know, go ahead and try to jump in, or else jump in when you have a moment. One thing interesting, a couple quick articles that seemed interesting to maybe start discussion today. Texas Bitcoin bill gets Senate approval. The Texas Bitcoin bill, HB 4474, has been passed by the Senate early morning on May 27 after being passed by the House of Representatives on May 11. This newly passed Bitcoin bill recognizes Bitcoin and other digital assets under the state's commercial laws. The approval of the bill would make Texas another crypto and blockchain-friendly state, similar to Wyoming. So it could be a one way for the states to take back power. I don't know if any of you gentlemen want to comment on that to start out, you know, or cryptos in general, or state sovereignty in general.
Yeah, I think crypto is actually more dangerous than the fiat currency we already have. I've been talking about this for about 10 years. I'm very dubious of it. We saw what just happened. It doesn't take much to crash it out. It's even more of a fake currency than the Federal Reserve notes that we already have, in my opinion. I think the cryptocurrency was introduced through the internet and through mainly alternative people over the last decade for a reason. I think they were getting the younger generations more comfortable with it, with the currency like that. They've been trying to move to this for quite some time. I'm highly skeptical of it, and I think the cryptocurrencies are basically the globalist currency that they've been trying to create for a long time, and it's disguised as a patriotic move. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Okay.
I think Mike makes really good points. Crypto, you know, it's a technology, and it's a technology that could either be liberating or could be suffocating. And you know, we've been moving from cash to, say, credit cards, which, you know, are traceable transactions that have records kept on them. We've been doing that for 50-60 years since the plastic the plastic credit cards came out, and then the crypto, you know, it uses this blockchain technology, which initially, maybe not because it was impossible to trace, but because it was new, it was relatively anonymous. But it's not necessarily anonymous. And we don't know which version, which flavor. Right now, there's so many competing cryptos out there. And of course, you know, there's Bitcoin. There's some like Monero, which I think is more or less anonymous at this point. But is it going to win the day, or is this technology ultimately going to come under the control of either corporations like Facebook, which are working on it, or, you know, the same old Federal Reserve?
I suppose it would be easier for Texas to simply print their own state currency. And yeah, the trackable factor, that is worrying going forward, especially if you wanted to help liberate. How about Paul, with your perception overseas there?
Well, I mean, it's too volatile for me to want to hold it. I did own some cryptos for a little while. I just couldn't relax, and you know, I don't like the idea of Bitcoin, for example, where it's dependent on what side of the bed Elon Musk gets out of the bed in the morning. Because, I mean, that guy can tank the price of Bitcoin by a tweet, and then on to the bigger issues. I think Mike made a good point there. Actually, I think it is possibly a conditioning mechanism to prepare us for these digital currencies, because the central banks are, you know, it's almost inevitable that we're going to go to a cashless society with digital currencies, and that is essentially end of financial privacy, and it'll bring in all these social scores and dependency, and it's a really, really dangerous, slippery slope, because, you know.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, Steven? Yeah, I mean, I think
yeah, it could I be agree with what you said. I didn't realize I had unmuted myself. I'm sorry, fellas, but I think that we are in the midst of this transition out of the petrodollar, and you know, that's what's happening, that the same thing that happened 30 years. It took 30 years, really, for the dollar to become the petrodollar, to become the reserve currency of the world back then, from like, what, 1919 to even, I don't know, it was when Bretton Woods, you know, and that process, it took a while. And I think that's what we're in the middle of right now. But this time, man, it's going to be, it's not like we're just switching to another country's currency. This is a worldwide, you know, power play. So it I think that's what's happening, that's going on. How it's going to settle out, I have no idea. It's very scary, just like you said, with the social credit score and everything, and that's what they're bringing in. I mean, I remember what was the guy's name that did Aaron, he was in the Constitution Party, and he talked to Rockefeller, and that was what he even admitted to him. What we want to do is put a chip in you, and then what you do we don't like, we just turn off your chip.
Right,
in fact,
right.
he said, you know, I'm going to get a chip, and you know what my chip's going to say? F you. I mean, that just demonstrates the you know, their attitude. Yeah. So that's what's happening. How it's going to go about, I don't know. I know back in 2009, I don't know what to call that, you know, 2009 or right around then, South Carolina had passed a bill that it was there. I don't know. It had to do with gold at the time instead of crypto. But I don't know how it's going to fall out, fellas. Okay.
Was there something more that you wanted to add, Paul? I'm sorry. Did Stephen cut you short at all?
No, I'm just saying, I think it is a precursor to these digital currencies. It will be a global thing, and it's going to be incredibly invasive, and it will result in these social credit scores, and they can switch off the tap and switch on, you know, switch it on again, depending on your level of compliance. And for people like us, I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, because, you know, it really will persecute and eliminate and make life very difficult for dissenters to the status quo and the establishment, you know?
Yeah, I have definitely cut my head off if that's what it comes down to. I mean, if they go, I don't know. I just will not be, you know, I'm not going to go quietly. I've been speaking out for a long time, and I'm probably going to be, if it comes down, they take power, yeah, I'm done for, you know, but still, people need to speak out, and I don't want to try to get people to do stuff that's going to get them, you know, in such a such a bad spot. But people, this is it. You know, there's a train coming at us. You know,
right.
This,
That's why we have a delicate role here on the air, Stephen, because we see everything you're saying being the case. At the same time, we can't be out there advocating for, you know, violent uprising, anything that could get RBN shut down and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the...
You know, and on that... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, on that note, I was just going to tell you how bad it is with the mainstream media. I just happened to get a text from someone who was showing this thing in Georgia where it was America First, and Matt Gaetz and this Marjorie Greene were there, and this I don't pay attention to mainstream media, but someone sent this to me because of this thing that happened in China with the hailstones killing a bunch of people, you know, freak storm. So I just happened to look at the top 10 stories, you know, on what was it, The Daily Beast, and what they said was that Matt Gaetz had called for a violent uprising, and they just told lies about what they said. I actually,
that's a horrible rag. That's a horrible digital rag. The Daily Beast,
it is. And it just is the way. It just seems to be that's all people are getting if they only watch mainstream media. That kind of junk, man.
Yeah, I think Matt Gaetz called for the uprising at the whorehouse after he had a couple lines.
You know, I just, gentlemen,
before we leave the Bitcoin, crypto, could I make one more point about it? Please. You know, there might be a parallel with the internet. You know, the internet came along and it made communication so much easier. And for a while, it was really our friend. We were able to get our message out. But we're seeing now a massive crackdown, not just a massive crackdown, but that the internet, you know, they can keep records of our Google searches and whatnot, and ultimately use it against us. And, you know, electronic money, digital money has been a great convenience. I mean, think of being able to just order things through a credit card online with and get them delivered to your house the next day. It's a great convenience. But on the other hand, the same way, they can keep records. And just because maybe it's our friend or a great convenience makes things easier today doesn't mean that it's not going to be constricting and oppressed in the future.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point, because it's like they introduce these things as a way and sell it as if it's going to be, you know, the solution to the establishment, when actually it's the complete opposite. But they'll present it at first as if it's liberation, but it'll ultimately result in more control, just like Patrick says about the internet. And I think that's what's going to happen with crypto. You're already seeing, you know, the IMF and the European Central Bank are already talking, you know, wide about regulating the hell out of cryptocurrency anyway, which is going to lose a lot of its appeal, you know?
Yes. Yes, no.
Personally, I never have bought any. I started to set up a wallet. I have such a small amount of income anyway, you know, but I did want to make one just so that I would have it. But I'm, you know, I haven't gone that far yet. I was going to make the Bitcoin wallet, but I don't know enough about it to follow. I have seen that it's just going up and down and up and down. Opinion is that it's going to go down and then back way back up again before it's completely tanked and they take over the, you know, with the cashless stuff. And that's probably going to have to happen with some kind of internet crash. They're already talking about running drills called Cyber Polygon. And every time they, you know, all these drills, eventually one of these drills goes live. I don't know when that will be, you know, but that's happened over and over again. And they have the last one I saw was that Cyber Polygon, they call it, but it was all about them shutting off all of our infrastructure, and they have all that information. They have it backdoored, and all of the I shouldn't say that without having the information right in front of me, but recently Australia has canceled defense contracts with Israel because of the I don't know exactly what the reason they listed, but you know, they have backdoors put into the chips, Intel. That's where this comes from. If they continue to be the supplier, you know, then you know, we're at their mercy.
Oh yeah, once Israel had vested interest in Intel, they created one of the largest, if not the largest, chip manufacturing Intel plant in Israel. I remember hearing that a few years back. So Intel inside means Israel inside was one of the phrases going around at the time. Gentlemen, did you hear about how this was just breaking news, I guess, as of yesterday? Senate Republicans just blocked the January 6th commission. So they don't want to any further investigation. You know, they like the politically correct narrative.
Well, I think the reason that, that it was blocked, I mean, actually, I think they wanted it blocked because if they actually had a commission, they would able, they would be able to introduce the new video evidence we've seen of the police just letting these people in and all that. So, look, I don't think they want to actually investigate it. I think they want to leave it the narrative. They've already won the narrative through their Jewish media. I think they want to keep it that way. I think if they actually open up an investigation, it could potentially be bad for their narrative they've already pushed the last 5 months. So I think both sides, in a way, kind of wanted to leave it be as it is. And I think that's, you know, that's the whole purpose of the two-party system we have. It's, you know, the Democrats, Pelosi can claim, well, we tried to have a commission, but the Republicans, you know, wouldn't let us. And the Republicans can say, yeah, we shut it down because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And both sides can win. And meanwhile, the official narrative and the lies that were told by the lamestream media can stay put for that day. That's my opinion on that.
Anyone else's thoughts on, well, just how much the Republicans play along, I suppose?
Well, I mean, it was, who is this guy? The lawyer who had been one of the 911 commissioners, Zelikow, who was proposed as leading this investigation in the first place. You know, they're obviously, I mean, I know a fair amount about what was going on that day. I was nowhere near. I was in Perth, Australia, but I know a lot of people who were on the Capitol grounds that day. And, you know, the whole narrative that's come out is completely a lie. We know that the you had some Antifa there who were breaking windows, and the MAGA peeps were trying to stop them. We got video of that. You've got the Proud Boys, who were led by a longtime Fed informant, who participate. I guess they and Oath Keepers had broke some windows. These are pro Trump groups, but Oath Keepers also are led by a longtime FBI agent, and most of the people who entered the Capitol that day did walk in when the Capitol Police just opened the doors. And we've all seen, I mean, that those videos have been floating around since day one. So, you know, what do they expect to find in this case? It's just totally contrived, unless it's just a complete witch hunt.
Does anyone else want to comment on the topic? A bit of background noise from someone. I'm not sure who. Perhaps you could mute until passes if he identifies. It sounds almost like outdoor traffic noise or something. But, go ahead.
Yeah, I was muted. So I would say that this January 6th thing, like you said, they've already got the story out that they want told. You know, it's an insurrection, an armed insurrection, and it's just ridiculous, you know. And you compare that to what Antifa was doing all around the country last year, and they just completely ignore that. I think it shows that our country is, you know, an occupied, you know, our government's an occupying force. It's ridiculous that they would call what happened when they brought us into the Capitol. Said, "Come on in, guys," you know, and you see people say it. That guy said, "It's got to be peaceful." The guy says, "We got to be peaceful here," and the guy says, "We got to be," you know, those videos completely destroy their narrative. So yeah, I can see that they would want to do that, fellas. I can, yeah, that makes
absolutely
sense.
And more videos and footage is coming out. More and more people confirmed who've been in on it. More information about just some of these infiltrators, and it's yeah. a lot that they just can't ignore at this point if they actually were to even be in court to take this seriously, and the official narrative, of course, would crumble. We have the break, though, the first break, so we should... I don't hear the music, but I take it it's coming. So,
yeah, I got 9:19. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll go to the break and we'll be back.
It's pretty cool air.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
And we're back, folks. The alternative media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, and I'm here with the, I have with me, rather, most of the panel. It seems Paul Stevenson, Paul Edward Stevenson, had to drop out. Something came up. But we have Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener here with me today. And, well, I don't know if there's anything else you gentlemen wanted to add on the, you know, the January 6th staging, as it were, or just the whole Republican-Democrat facade. I mean, yeah, to some extent, yeah, I think I heard it summed up pretty well on Michael Rivero's show in the past day or so that, I mean, you do generally see in the end result the very worst extreme of each party whenever they do have power in Congress.
Well, the January 6th was, it really was a pretty historic event. It wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't as if the government of the United States was about to be overthrown. But the election was clearly stolen, and there actually was an awful lot of progress on doing something about it. It wound up coming up short. It was a little too little too late. But and a lot of people probably don't remember this, but January 7th, the day after January 6th, the Wisconsin state legislature was to come back into session, and there was going to be a motion introduced to decertify the Democratic electors. And although it wasn't really in the cards that day because the Republican leaders in the Senate weren't going to do it, January 6th, had the Republican senators objected, and House members, if the Republicans had objected to every single state, the electoral votes for every single state, it would have drawn out the process of counting the electoral votes in Congress. It would have drawn it out by about 2 weeks, by about like 12, 13, 14 days. And over that course of time, two things would have happened. One is the Congress would have been debating nonstop. It would have provided an opportunity to finally get this evidence in front of a large audience, because as you remember, the courts weren't hearing it. The media was pretending it didn't exist, but here you would have had it debated in a very dramatic fashion in Congress. The other thing that was that state legislatures typically come back into session in January, and so you would have had the opportunity for other state legislatures to follow suit. Now, remember, in Pennsylvania, at the end of November, a couple of legislators tried to introduce a motion, Republicans, had tried to introduce a motion to decertify, to appoint electors. And the Republican Speaker of the House refused. He refused to entertain that motion and adjourned the session. And so you actually had in the state legislatures, you had a lot of movement to decertify or to appoint electors. And so there really was a possibility there. But it wasn't going to happen because the Republican senators, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, they just wanted a little show that might last a day or two. They weren't going to do this strategy. But things really came close. And the idea that you would have legislators in all of these state capitals pushing to decertify elections and appoint electors is really something very, very significant, I think. And it's not necessarily over because you got these, what Mike Rivera is reporting on, these audits going on all over the place.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask. Do you think that these audits that are happening now have a chance? That Arizona and I don't know the other ones, but they're trying to do that still. But do you think that has a chance?
Well, things are it's different now that the Biden was inaugurated. So there was a process and there was precedent when they were actually counting the electoral votes, 1876 in particular, the election of 1876. It took them up until, at that time, the inauguration day was March 4th, and I think it took them until like March 2nd or March 3rd to finally decide who was the victor. But now that Biden's been elected, it's a lot more difficult to do anything about it, but delegitimizing this election would be a big deal.
All right, well, we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
We're back here on the alternative media, folks. And I should take a moment to remind you all that we are listener supported here at RBN. Please donate whatever is manageable. And I always say no donation is too small. Free speech simply cannot stay alive without being funded by we the people. So please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. You can use PayPal on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate with credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail in your donation of cash, check, money order to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. All right. Well, again, this is the Alternative Media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Shoaf while he's on his hiatus. And I have with me today Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And, well, we were talking about, you know, January 6th, whether or not it would be investigated, how much all of the fraud almost did come out, where, Patrick, I think you were basically alluding to that this set of Republicans, the remnants of the Trump era Republicans, I mean, did have quite a bit of integrity to at least get as far as they did before this was pulled and made most of them, you know, cower and under the official, you know, claim of a white supremacist insurrection threat or whatever we're supposed to believe happened that day, that we can't even look at this, you know, that this information after this happening. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez feels she's she was in a war zone and that it was like that she's like a war veteran now or something. I mean,
yeah, post-traumatic syndrome or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were some, especially at the state legislator level. There's a guy, Russ Diamond in Pennsylvania. You know, there were some other people. Rudy Giuliani, he took it like his traveling show to various state capitals and got out a lot of evidence and got a lot of support from the legislators. In Congress, like in the House of Representatives, there may have been a few people who were pushing it. But the Senate, at the last minute, like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz kind of jumped on. But the moment things got tough, the moment that you had like the broken windows, and once that happened, they just completely caved. Did anybody stand up after that? I don't know. It seemed like they just completely caved and just conceded everything in the middle of the night. Just let them declare Joe Biden president in the middle of the night without debate. They stopped debating, and it was really disgraceful.
I got a text from a listener that said, you know, it's just an S show. No election will ever be close to legit again. He said, people know that this has been stolen, that it's fraud. He said that Trump, was not letting them get their money or used, you know, and they got him out. It just that we're under control outside our borders is what the person texted me. And yeah, I mean, that does appear to be the case. I don't see that unless they fix this somehow, we fix it at the local level, you'll never have another legitimate election. I think he's probably right about that. What do you think?
Hey, I was going to bring up this here in Georgia, in Henry County. There is another audit taking place that's pretty interesting. If you guys have been following up on that, that's like one county over from where I live. A pretty big story there. Also, our Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, is wanting to audit more counties in Georgia, which is interesting. I haven't heard much talk about this on the national scene. That's kind of a big story here in Georgia. But I guess I'm one of those jaded people that I haven't believed in elections for about probably most of my life. You know, whether it's, you know, black box voting, election fraud. This has been, you know, I don't believe the 2000 election results. Not that I care. It was Al Gore against George W. Bush. Didn't matter to me who won. I don't believe the election results from 2004. Not that I care. It was John Kerry and George W. Bush. But, I mean, look, I think the good news here is that it's a good thing that people no longer believe in the election process in this country. It's about damn time. I've been telling people this whole thing was rigged for years, and I'm glad to see normies waking up to the fact that their vote doesn't count. It's the best thing that could have happened. I think that's the silver lining from this whole event. It's good news. Delegitimize this fake system we have, this fake political two-party WWF wrestling system we have, and maybe this will wake people up. It's one step closer to potentially something real happening, and that's a good thing, and that's the silver lining that came out of the 2000 in 20 election cycle, in my opinion.
Well, you make a good...
I can't argue with that, but you could go all the way back to the Kennedy election, you know. they went in, with Johnson, you know. This has been going on a long time, just like you said. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard it claimed that, I mean, Kennedy won fraudulently to Nixon. Is that right?
That happened in Texas. There was at the time there was, I don't think they even had the black boxes. It indicates that it's so much not who votes, but who counts.
Kennedy had the mob in Illinois, the Chicago power structure. He had bring in votes.
Yeah. So it's been going on. Like you said, I agree. It's been going on a long time, and people are starting to realize what's happening. I mean, people who voted for the first time for Trump, and then boom, that, you know, they say, "Oh, wait a minute, hey, this whole thing is a scam." And that's, you know, more and more. I hope more and more people do wake up to that. I hope you're right about that. I do hear it from some people, but you would think it would be more. I mean, look at all these people going around with their mask. You know, it's hard. There's still a lot of sheep out there. I hope that some more will wake up. I really do. And it looks like that maybe they've gone too far this time. I hope so, because if we don't do something now, this is, you know, I don't know how close you are to those Georgia Guidestones in Georgia. I'm up here in South Carolina, but yeah, that's the plan, man. It's just about to be carried out. That's what gets to me sometimes. I have to step back from that and try to calm down and say, just, you know, okay, like you said, this has been going on a long time, and try to fight back. It's overwhelming sometimes for me.
Well, it's good that everyone's waking up to the fraudulent process. I mean, on Michael Rivero's show, you get a good gauge, because he has a lot of listenership, to the climate of the independent patriot movement, if you will. You know, listenership to radio are kind of on the fence. They see that a lot of them see that the only thing left is to wait for the system to collapse on its own to rebuild from. You know, it would be a fool's errand to take on this government's military and all that, of course. And that's what that would almost like to happen to justify a response, totalitarian response. But then so that you just wait for it to collapse. But also, we need to fix the voting system, the integrity of it. You know, there's still hope in that, like 50-50. That a lot of people hold on to as mutual views that they won't allow to be mutually exclusive. But go ahead.
So, you know, the thing is, we have voting, very decentralized, locally run voting systems. And it may well be that in the vast majority of municipalities, localities, precincts, that the elections are completely legitimate. And have been, and perhaps still are, but you have, you know, traditionally the problems have been in big cities like Chicago, where you've got these machines. You also have large populations. It gives them an incredible amount of scope for just stuffing the ballot box with, you know, in Chicago in 1960, it was supposedly dead voters, and we heard about a lot of dead voters this time around too, and so like this. So you still might have, you know, local sheriff elections and municipal elections in your own county that might be completely legitimate. So you shouldn't necessarily discount those. But on a statewide basis, if you've got a large city in your state, especially with a lot of blacks and machine politics, they can stuff, you know, the machine politicians can stuff the ballot boxes. They can use blacks to intimidate election monitors, and this is exactly what we saw in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia, in Atlanta, and they can take a state election, and in a close presidential election, they can make the difference in a close presidential election.
Reason why they went. Yeah, I think another reason why they were so blatant in this last election steal is because they know that they're going to flood us with more illegals like Biden has done so far in just the beginning of his administration. And they know that the demographic shift is almost a fait accompli for them. And they also know that the younger generations, even though they're white, they're extremely liberal, and they've lost faith in the quote-unquote capitalist free market system. And they want UBI. They want, you know, all that stuff. They want all those goodies. I really don't blame them for wanting that, to be honest with you. It is a rigged economic system. But you know, look, the Democratic Party knows this. And I think, really, in reality, the GOP is on its way out the door. I mean, I think the GOP will be a state party for the most part. I think it's pretty much done being a national party, just through the demographic changes. And I think we're moving more toward a one-party system in this country in the next decade, because there's just no reason to keep the Republican Party around anymore. They're outdated. You know, nobody really wants them around anymore. And I think, let's face it, the demographic shift and the generational shift that's taking place is going to be more favorable to the Oy Vey Demon Crap Jackass Party. So there you go.
We went through a period of one party in our country in the time of James Monroe, especially after Alexander Hamilton was shot, the Federalist Party just kind of withered away, and in James Madison's reelection in 1820, he won every single state. There was one elector who didn't vote for him because he wanted George Washington to be the only person to be voted to win an election unanimously. But you had in the 1820s, late 1810s, 1820s, a one-party state, and the presidents were determined by the Democratic Republican. That was the party, Democratic Republican Party's congressional caucus. But of course, it eventually fractured. You know, you got the Whig Party came out of it. And I think what could happen here is, the Republicans could more or less wither away. But you could, you wouldn't necessarily. But I think more likely than having like a one-party system like China or the old Soviet Union, I think we're more likely to have power would still be centralized in this largely, Jewish-dominated elite that controls corporations and media and whatnot. But on, in terms of the political process, you'd probably just get the Democratic Party might split, or you might get the Pelosi's and the Mitch McConnell's might get together and form, you know, one kind of party, and then the AOC's form a different party. You could have some sort of political realignment, but the power really in our system, the power really isn't in the parties. The power is in, it's outside of, to a large extent, it's outside of the political process. It's in the media, it's in finance, it's in other places.
That's interesting how you mention a one party system, gentlemen. I could see then they would even more so need to find some other imaginary enemy for the people to focus on. I just saw a story related. Well, I saw a story here from a Microsoft president, a warning: 2024 will look like Orwell's 1984 if we don't stop artificial intelligence police state. So AI, that's more the danger than these oligarchs and these people in power. That's what they want you to believe. But no, go ahead, whoever.
I think they want a new Cold War. I think China is the diversion that they want. They want, especially the Republican Party, you know, because they want to get these military contractors paid, and Lockheed Martin. By the way, the Lockheed Martin anti-white little program they have is pretty interesting, also, as well as a topic. But anyway, yeah, I mean, look, I think they would love to divert attention to some kind of boogeyman, whether it be Iran or China or something like that on the foreign policy scale, to get people's attention away from what's taking place here. But also, I think we need to pay attention to what's going to take place on July 9th. That is going to be the next World Economic Forum. And the topic there is cyber hacking, cyber security. I'm still very dubious of the Colonial Pipeline issue that we just had last month. I think that could have been a test run for something bigger. I think that, a cyber hack like that could easily bring about a new currency situation. It could bring about a lot of things. It could take people's attention off of what we're talking about, these topics now, and focus it in on, you know, just trying to survive. So there's a lot of things they have on the table, and I agree with what Dr. Slattery said was, look, I totally agree. It's not really a party system in this country. Our system is run by Wall Street. It's run through big business, through the military-industrial complex, through the media, all of that. So, yeah, all great points. I totally agree.
Okay. Well, we have a couple of callers on the line. I mean, unless there's something else one of you gentlemen wanted to mention on that topic still.
I would agree with that, that the cyber thing is next. They've announced that drill, the cyber polygon and stuff, you know, just that's what's headed our way, that. And then the food shortage. They've, you know, told us that there's going to be a famine. They're telegraphing that, too. I hear the music, but, yeah, that's all good points. Both of you guys, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Children.
back, folks. The Alternative Media, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Shoff. And here today with me, Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And, well, gentlemen, one more story to mention briefly before we go to the callers at the top of the hour here. FedEx top contractor to the U.S. government required all employees to attend demasculization. Demasculinization. There, I got it. Training.
Demasculization or emasculization?
Well, the way they said it, they said demasculinization is how they put it. But, I mean, so in addition to the critical race theory, you know, this anti-white racist indoctrination, also everyone has to be feminized now, or at least the men, Patrick.
Or castrated.
I mean, some claim that matriarchal societies are the way to go. I don't know. I, you know, at the risk of sounding like a chauvinist, I have to disagree. I mean, it really kind of goes against the natural order of things. But
if you look at history, the matriarchal societies that we had in the past were the most brutal and repressive ever in history. That's just a fact. very interesting.
Which would be the matriarchal societies?
I don't know. I mean, I heard some caller the other day talking about some sort of Native American and related sort of cultures from the past, so, supposedly had success.
Yes, in Native American and American Indian culture, you actually had, in many tribes, you had the female actually in charge. And They're the ones that told the men how to do various types of torture and that kind of thing. On their enemies. And yeah, there's many Indian tribes in America had women in charge behind the scenes, really, in a way. It's very interesting.
I mean, so I'm familiar with matrilineal societies where property is handed down on the mother's side, things like that. I suppose there's probably been female-run societies here and there, but the fact that they don't last long probably tells you something.
Exactly.
Okay. Well,
That reminds me that you got callers, but yeah, June is coming up, and you know what that means. More of those rainbow flags everywhere and all that BS, but... Yeah, I don't want to go off that tangent yet because you've gone to the college, but that
on that note, Stephen, we may see a follow up second consecutive BLM summer of BLM for all we know. U.S. embassies worldwide are flying BLM flags this week. I just found a story at Zero Hedge on that, but there might be hope. The Daily Caller sues racist Chicago mayor Lori Lightfoot for blacklisting white journalists. So,
no. All right.
Okay, well, we'll be right back and we'll go to the phones, folks. Stick around.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we